Thanks very much for having me, Syl, and thanks everyone for coming today. I'm glad to come down to New York for this and to meet with all of you. It's stuff I love, working with trees, and there's so many different things you can do. And so today we're going to talk about some of the alternative things you can do with trees and tree sap, right? So most people know about maple syrup, okay? It's the sap from the tree boiled down into pure, delicious syrup this time of the year. And say we're going to talk about other trees you can tap, the birch and the walnut, what's different about them, what kind of research we're doing, and the opportunities there. And then also, instead of boiling the sap down from maple trees or birch trees, just drinking it fresh as is. And so hopefully everybody got a chance to try some of that fresh sap right out of the tree. And we'll talk about that as the opportunity. So please ask questions as we go. This is supposed to be a conversation. I don't want to just sit up here. And this is not a lecture. This is a conversation. I do have some slides with different pictures to highlight different aspects. But as we go, questions all along.
I have the opening dumb questions, and someone has to be the first. Do all trees have sap, and what does the sap do? What's the function of the sap?
Right, so not yet. Yes, there's sap inside all trees. There's water growing through all trees, but not all trees have sap in the springtime like maples, birch, and walnut do. Those are the three species, the three main species that in the springtime will have sap flowing through them that is full of minerals and nutrients and a little bit of sugar, and that sap is what's helping the trees survive through the winter and renew them for the new spring screw.
Tree nutrition?
Yes. Okay.
So is that to say that sap from the other trees can also be boiled down into some sort of edible thing, or is it
there's different between xylem sap and phloem sap, and the only three trees that have sap that can be collected and boiled down are the maple, birch, and walnut. So if you tried to tap an oak or a cherry or an ash tree, you're not going to get anything. The sap in pine trees is what they make turpentine out of. Okay, that's the pitch. Well, oftentimes when people think...
Can we review xylem and phloem?
Sure, yeah. So it's just in the inner part of the tree, and what's going up and down, and there's sap in the summer and the winter, and it's just when we're talking about this sap from maple trees, it's xylem sap. It's in the xylem. Okay, so first we'll talk, and I think, Syl, can we get just the lights off here?
Yeah, sure.
I think I see them. Let's just do that, yeah. Okay, so here's a picture of a sugar house. This was on the New York State Maple Tour. It's one of the things we do with the Cornell Maple Program is we do a tour every summer with maple producers, go to different parts of the state. And so that's a bunch of maple producers inside the sugar house. Outside of the sugar house here, some black walnut trees. The maple producer had planted black walnuts. And they're, obviously you can see, nice, beautiful, healthy trees. This is actually in the Adirondacks. This is in Lewis County. And they had no idea you could tap them to make syrup. It's a new product for maple producers, right? So they had planted them just because they wanted black walnuts, not knowing you could also tap them. And since we've been working on this for the last few years, I'd say when I first started talking about it, hardly anyone knew about black walnut syrup production, even maple syrup producers. And now, not that it's common knowledge, but people hopefully have read a little bit or heard a little bit, and so more people know about it, and it's becoming more popular. I've talked to probably, I'd say, 100 people that I know now are producing black walnut syrup. And so if I talk to 100 of them, there's a lot more, because not everybody calls me. Okay, and then butternut is also, it's another... nut tree, it's juglans cinerea, whereas black walnut's juglans nigra. It's also known as white walnut. This is the butternut tree that I started tapping in Albany. I grew up in Albany, and I knew about this butternut grove just that's back when Albany was farmland, right on the outskirts of the city. This was the mother tree here. This is, a farmer had planted that a long time ago, and it's a huge tree. We put 3 buckets on it. That was after the first one. It provides a lot of sap. One of the things about black walnut and butternut syrup production It's a little different than maple. You're going to get a chance to try the different syrups. But butternut will give you a lot more sap. Butternut will give you almost as much sap as maples, whereas black walnut won't. And that's one of the things we're doing research on, is to get good data on how much sap you actually get out of these trees, to look at the economics of it. Yeah, Ron.
And I'm sorry, you said butternut is a type of walnut.
Yes. It's also known as white walnut. And it has a lot more white sapwood. And that's why I think we get more sap out of it, is that there's more white sapwood for the sap to be in. Whereas black walnut, you think about that, the inside of the tree is mostly that dark heartwood, which makes the beautiful lumber. Now, black walnut lumber is the dark heartwood. The valuable stuff is the inside, not the outside white sapwood. Okay? And the way you can easily tell the difference between these is with the nuts. They're both edible nuts, and people used to eat them a lot. I'm sure you can find these if you go to the green market. Some people are starting to sell them more. It's a local edible nut here in the Northeast, wild nuts. So there's more people getting into just doing the nuts. But the butternuts are very distinctive. And as you can imagine, the name butternut, it's also very delicious. And black walnuts are also very good, but most of the nut production in the world is from English walnut, Juglans regia, and that's about 99% of the total nut market. And the black walnuts mostly come from Missouri, from the Midwest. There's one big processing company out there. And those are the black walnuts I was tapping in Albany. And these trees would be very valuable for lumber, but they're growing on street trees in Albany, so they're not going to be harvested for lumber, so I got permission to tap them. Those are the first ones that I tried tapping. And it was a very successful project, and you're going to get a chance to try some of that syrup. Okay, and this was a grove of butternuts in Albany. You can see this was right next to that big one I just showed you, and just the whole yard got populated. Squirrels love planting butternuts and black walnuts. That's how they spread. You don't see too many of them in the woods. You see a lot of them in hedgerows and farm fields, backyards, places where your people have planted them or squirrels have planted them.
What did people say when you were hanging the pails next to the sidewalk?
Well, there was a really funny thing somebody said, but I can't say it here. But most of the times people...
Not in front of your child.
So I knocked on the doors. I asked the people. I said, would you, you actually have these butternut trees? They had no idea what kind of trees they were. I said, they're actually very rare trees. There's not that many butternuts around. Most of them had died because of a disease called butternut canker. And butternuts are a threatened species here in the U.S. I was pleasantly surprised to find a healthy grove of butternuts that didn't have any sign of canker. And so I told I knocked on the doors. They were a little, taken back because they didn't even know that what kind of trees they had and that I wanted to tap them for a research project. But they were glad with it. And I gave them a little bit of syrup when I was done, and they've let me do it every year now. Okay, and the biggest opportunity I see with it is combining it with maple syrup to do a maple walnut syrup. Okay, people know the flavor maple walnut. It is a popular ice cream flavor here in the Northeast. You can mix the saps together or mix the syrups together afterwards, and it stretches it further because, there's a very limited resource of these nut trees. There's not that many black walnuts or butternuts around, so you're not going to be able to make that much syrup. But when you combine it with the maple, and our activity after this is to do the sampling and do the taste test, you'll get to see the differences in flavors and the opportunities there in combining them. And also a great opportunity to plant them in an agroforestry setting. So planting these trees, they grow very fast. This is a plantation at the University of Missouri, their Agroforestry Resource Center. But there's plenty of opportunities to plant these trees on the landscape. They grow fast. You'll get the nuts out of them every year. You can tap them every year for syrup production and eventually have some beautiful, valuable lumber. So we're encouraging people to plant black walnut and butternut as much as possible. Okay, on to birch. Before we go on to birch, any questions about walnut? Yes.
You mentioned the butternut trees are an endangered species.
What well, I wouldn't say endangered species, but there's not that many of them left. I have a chart in a little while showing you how many are actually out there.
What about the black walnut?
Black walnut, there's plenty of them.
And maple?
Maple, there's billions of them.
So other than, I guess what I'm wondering is, what would be, other than the obvious wonderful flavor, what would be any other reason for producing these syrups? We're trying to, you know, tap the butternut and the black walnut.
Well, in some places, they have, in the Midwest, there's a lot more walnuts than maples in some places, especially Missouri. So there's some places where that's more common. Here in the Northeast, we have much more maples than walnuts. So another benefit was that if you planted these, you increase diversity on the landscape. Not only do we like the nuts, but lots of other wildlife does too. So you're putting more wildlife food out there and just overall healthier, more diverse landscape with different species. Yes?
You mentioned something about you were excited to see these these trees growing along the street. Because they're hard to find because of lumber. Is there a competition between the lumber industry and the syrup industry?
Yes, and not just with walnut, because there's very little walnut syrup industry. The biggest competition is in the maple industry for maple lumber and maple tapping, and that's always a back and forth between the loggers and the maple producers about getting access to the trees.
I'm assuming that you can't make a partnership because once the tree is down, it doesn't.
Oh, no, that's a great question. You can. And once the tree has been tapped, you actually can turn it into tap hole maple lumber. You can tap it for many years. You do a little hole in the tree every year. And so every tree winds up sawing out to different boards depending on the tapping pattern. You can see the holes and these streaking patterns. And it's beautiful, unique lumber that sells at a premium price if you do the marketing. Okay, so it's a niche market, it's not a commodity market. Commodity maple is like this pure white. You see this? That's maple. That's maple veneer on this table, and that's what they want, is pure white, no blemishes. Okay, but when you have the blemishes, the tap holes, it actually increases the value if you do the right type of marketing. So there are ways to the synergy, yeah.
Wasn't there a maple blight that was threatening the forests in the Northeast?
Well, there was a project called the North American Maple Decline Project back in the late 80s and early 90s, because there was a lot of concern that there were maples in bad health throughout the Northeast. And we went around, not me, I was a little guy at that time, but before there was this big research project, and they did stratified random sampling of sugar bushes and just maple stands throughout the Northeast. And what they found was that the maples that were in decline were the ones on sites that weren't the best for maple. So they might have been favored on dry, rocky ridges or wet areas, just because people, when they're managing the forest, they want to manage for the sugar maples because they're so valuable. But if they're not on a good site, they're going to go into decline. And we had a big problem back then. It was more of an issue with acid rain at that time. And so if you didn't have buffering capability in your soils, those are also the maples that are in decline. But maples right now, they're expanding at a very fast rate on the landscape. Sugar and red maple are two of the top species. There are some places where they're in poor health, but overall, it's a vibrant and growing resource.
And when they're saplings, when can you actually start tapping them?
So you generally wait till the trees get about to 10 inches in diameter before you start tapping.
How old is that?
It depends where they're growing and how much space they have. It can be anywhere from 20 years to 60 years.
So that's the commitment to get sap.
If you were to plant a tree, if you were to plant it in an open field, it's probably going to be 25 years before you can start to tap it in a traditional way. These are all great questions, by the way. Okay, so on to birch. Of course, this is paper birch. That's a distinctive bark, beautiful tree, and also produces sap. If you look in the background of this photo, you can see it's huge stands of birch. And that's what they have in Western Canada and Alaska. There's lots of birch there, very little maple, hardly any maple. And so that's where all the birch syrup, for the most part, has been produced for the last, say, 20 years in the U.S. and Canada. It was in the western part of our continent because they have these vast stands of birch, and not very many maples.
Okay.
And they used to do, you know, maybe just hang a milk jug on, find out different ways of tapping it, because use the resources you have, right? And they're not in maple country. They don't have access to all the equipment. Well, at least they hadn't yet, but the industry is developing for sure. Okay? And throughout the rest of the world, we were talking a little bit beforehand during lunch earlier. But this is Belarus, a lot throughout Eastern Europe, throughout Scandinavia, and Russia, and China, Japan, Korea, lots of different places in the world where they tap the birch trees, and most of it's used for drinking. Very little of it is boiled down into syrup. Okay, it's mostly used as a base for a beverage. They might add sugar to it. A lot of the places add sugar. They might add citric acid as a preservative. But it's used. Sometimes it's just drank raw from the tree. But it's mostly as a beverage industry. And you can see those bags will fill up pretty readily. That's why they use the bags in those places, because birch produce a lot of sap. Okay, it's after maple season. When the maples are done running, that's when the birch start to run. And once you drill that hole in that tree, you know, look out, because it's just going to keep on coming. And it comes out maybe 1 to 2 gallons a day, nonstop for 2 to 3 weeks. And there's not as much sugar in the sap. It's maybe 0.5% sugar in the sap, or at most maybe 1%, compared to maple would be between 2 and 3%. So it takes more sap to boil down to make the syrup. And the sugar composition in the sap is much different. It's glucose and fructose as the primary sugars in birch sap, whereas in maple, it's sucrose. And that affects the flavor of the syrup as well.
Can I ask a very silly question, but yes. From the evolutionary perspective, why are these trees producing such an excess of sap all the time?
Well, this is the liquid that's flowing through them in the spring as they're getting ready to have new leaves. If you don't tap the trees, the sap's still running in the trees. We're just getting it by drilling a hole. But the trees are... they need to have, just like we have water, we're 70% water, right? So the trees have a lot of water in them, and that sap is full of the minerals and some sugar and the other things that the trees need to survive and to grow.
Does it affect their growth rate, the fact that people are tapping?
So we've done a lot of research on that, and it seems that with maple, at least, we think we're taking about 5% of the sugar reserves when we tap, and the trees are therefore growing about 5% more slowly. So they're living just as long. That's what the North American Maple Decline Project found out. I'm not sure if I finished that thought, but we also discovered in that North American Maple Decline Project that the tapped sugar bushes weren't any less healthy than the ones that weren't being tapped. Tapping is a minor, it's a minor intrusion on the tree. And my contention is that the best way to save maple trees or birch trees or walnut trees is to tap them, because when you're tapping them, that gives you an incentive to keep those trees living as full-growing trees year after year, not cutting them down for timber or not turning it into development.
And you said they're just as healthy. They 5% slower. But
5% slower, but they live just as long. Yep. And... you know, this is a chart that came out of, there were 3 international symposiums on tree sap utilization in Hokkaido, Japan, 1995, 2000, and 2005. And almost all the papers, all the presentations at that conference had to do with birch sap. Most of the researchers were from Europe and the Scandinavian countries and Russia and China, Japan, Korea. And they were almost all focusing on birch sap. One of them, showed the traditional curative properties. So this isn't peer-reviewed research showing that consuming birch sap will, cure you of hypertension or urinary problems or gout. This is just traditionally what these people use it for in different regions of the world. Okay, so Japan, Korea, China, Finland, Russia, all these different places where people were drinking birch sap as traditional medicine, as a springtime tonic, and for a lot of the same things. So that's something that we need to look into more to see what is the scientific basis behind this, and how does birch sap actually help you, or how does maple sap help you, right? Because there's lots of purported health benefits of maple sap too, and we just haven't had enough research to look at those those health benefits yet, but that, I'm sure that is coming.
Now, who can look and see if there's actually ascorbic acid? I see scurvy as one of the traditional.
Yes, there will be ascorbic acid in the birch sap, I believe. Yeah. There's lots of different types of acids in the sap. And what's getting a lot of maple producers excited about birch syrup is that the prices are better than maple syrup. Okay, there's limited supply, high demand, and therefore higher prices. So I did an internet search on birch and maple syrup, and these are just the price. This shows the size of the container from the smallest bottle, 1.7 ounces, up to a gallon. And this is the price per gallon, the weighted price per gallon for maple syrup and for birch syrup. And at all levels, the birch syrup is more expensive. So it's more economical to produce for a lot of maple producers because you already have the equipment. Right, so you already have a sugar house, you have an evaporator, you have reverse osmosis is used a lot in maple production, and it can also be used in birch production. That is pumping the sap through a membrane to remove most of the water before you boil it. So we take out 80 to 90% of the water from the sap before it's boiled into syrup, and that process can also be used for the birch. There's a lot of expensive equipment to produce syrup, to produce maple syrup or birch syrup, but if you've already bought everything to produce maple syrup, and then the birch sap starts running when the maple's done, you can make another crop from your same forest and your same equipment. And so that's one of the main projects we're working on at Cornell right now, is to look at the economics, look at the feasibility for maple producers to do it, and what kind of yields and the economic benefit they're going to see as a result.
You know, Governor Cuomo had a yogurt summit.
Yes.
Do you know about that?
Yes.
Could this be the saving of upstate New York?
Well, I'm not sure, but I can tell you, look what they've done in Vermont. Think of maple syrup, you think of Vermont. For the most part, they've done an incredible job marketing it in that state. The economic benefit of the maple industry in Vermont is huge. Or look at Quebec. What they've done with 75% of the syrup in the world comes from Quebec, and they've based a lot of rural economic development on making use of these forests with the trees. So yeah, I don't think it's not going to save upstate New York, but it's going to help with rural economic development, and it's going to create a lot more jobs and a lot more opportunities for people, for sure. And that's what we're working towards.
And when is the birch tapping season?
So the birch tapping depends on the year. It's when the soil gets to about 50 degrees. So it needs time for many warm days in the spring when the frost is gone and, you know, it's... Oftentimes, when you hear the spring peepers, when you hear those frogs, that's the end of maple season and the beginning of birch season.
So maple season is about now? So
maple season should be going on right now. And starting this week, it's going to get much warmer, and we're going to start to see a lot more maple sap flow in most of the state, not Lake Placid, unfortunately. But and maple will go anywhere from, say, mid-February usually to mid-April, and... birch will go from early to mid-April to early May, late April. Yes?
You said that the birch trees produce more sap, but that the sap also has a lower sugar content.
Yes.
So if you're working with like the same amount of land or the same number of trees, will you get more syrup for birch trees or maple, or do you just not know yet?
Well, that's a great question, and we don't know the answer to that yet. But we're working with collaborators. We have 6 different birch syrup producers right now in New York State. We're collecting all their data for us, so we get different data points in different parts of the state with different species. Because you have yellow birch, paper birch, and black birch are the 3 species of birch here in New York State that we can tap for syrup production, sap and syrup production. And we don't have a good idea of their average yield yet. And it's going to vary from year to year, but that is research that we're hoping to figure out. Yes.
Well, a couple of questions about the birch. You said that the birch is being used in Scandinavia and Russia as a drink, but if it has such a low sugar content, then how does it taste any different from water? And then the other question is, if birch has such a low sugar content, then isn't it more expensive to boil it off to make this?
Two great questions. So first of all, why drink birch sap instead of water if it's just mostly water? Well, because it also has a little bit of sugar, but also a lot of minerals in it as well. So the tree is concentrating all those minerals in the ground. So there's lots of good things in the birch sap besides just water, and it is pure water. You know, it's water that's filtered in the ground, it's groundwater, and then also filtered by the tree roots. And it's traditionally, you know, this drink that is a spring tonic, it's coming in at the time when, you know, people are sick of winter, and it's finally nice out, and the warm days, and the sap's flowing, and you tap the trees and drink the sap, and you feel great. You know, so, I mean, there's lots of great reasons to do that. And as far as the second question was on the more expensive
like
to produce.
Boiling it down, it's more expensive.
Yeah, so if you're just going to boil it down from raw sap, I recommend it against it all the time. People say, I want to make birch syrup on my stove or whatever, I just want to boil some down. I say, don't do it, right? Just drink the sap or cook with the sap. If you want to make birch syrup economically and to make it taste good, you need to put it through reverse osmosis first. If you have reverse osmosis, then you can remove most of the water, 90% or more of the water, before you boil it. And that's what, so when you, it saves you a lot of time, saves you a lot of money, because it's very little electricity to do that with your reverse osmosis. And it also winds up tasting way better, because birch syrup develops a very strong flavor the more it's boiled. And the less time boiling, the more mild the flavor is, the better it tastes. And I brought some birch syrup here that it's got a strong flavor. It's way different than maple, but this is mild for birch syrup. Okay? And so we've done taste tests both. This is birch syrup that we produced last year. The syrup we produced the previous year, we boiled a longer time. We didn't put it through the RO as much. And we did taste tests with that. Most people didn't like it. When we do taste tests with the birch syrup we made this past year, after we did very high concentration with the RO, most people like it. So I'll be interested to get your opinion on it as well. Yes?
Are there any implications because of climate change and the different growth rates or different sort of implications for different trees?
Sure. Climate change has had a little impact on the industry so far. It's moving the season forward. So the maple season is traditionally happening about a week earlier and ending about a week earlier on average. This year is an exception to the rule. But so that's been the main impact that climate change has had on maple syrup production so far. The climate hasn't had enough of a change to really affect the tree's growth yet. And maple trees are doing just fine. In fact, they're expanding further south and further west, even though it's warmer and drier there. Maple regeneration is even more prevalent down in the Midwest, in the mid-Atlantic states. So they're overtaking the oak and hickory forest, and the foresters down there like oak and hickory. They're worried that they're getting invaded by sugar and red maple. So maples are doing just fine with climate change right now.
You said it's starting a week later and ending a week later, or a week earlier.
Yeah, on average, but that was over the last 40 years. But with technology, maple producers are able to adapt to this changing climate and any adverse weather. We use a high vacuum tubing technology. Has anybody seen those tubes running through the woods? Okay, so you use tubing instead of buckets. And you hook a vacuum pump onto that tubing, and you're able to draw sap out of that tree whenever it's above freezing. Okay. So, you know, the issue with climate change or things getting warmer is that you're not going to get the freezing nights. And normally with maple production, you need freezing nights and warm days to get the sap to flow. Well, we're getting sap flow in the maples now whenever it's above freezing. And so yields are actually the highest they've ever been. Used to be you tried to get a quart of syrup per tap. Now we're looking at about a half a gallon of syrup per tap on average for the people using high vacuum. And it's not necessarily ending earlier. It's starting earlier, but the season's getting extended too because we're using new spouts and new tubing, and that's allowing us to get more sap out of the tree and not have the tap holes heal up. So we could give a whole nother presentation on climate change in the maple industry, but there's been no work done on the birch industry or walnut for that, but it's a hot topic, and it's something we've done a lot of research on, and I'm very optimistic about the ability of the maple industry to adapt to climate change and to continue to have a sustainable industry. Okay. This is now a birch syrup production operation in Alaska. This is the this is a picture taken from the largest birch sugaring operation in Alaska. It is a 16,000 tap operation, and they're going into tubing now as well. So it's not just maple. They used to use just the buckets on the trees, but now they're going into the tubing and getting better yields and lower cost, lower labor cost. That's one of the advantages. So so we're going to see the birch industry continue to expand as well. And lots of different things you can do with it. So you have birch syrup, but you can then take that syrup and make lots of other different things. I was hoping to bring some of these Alaska gold nuggets, the birch cream caramels, but I didn't get them in time. But they're delicious.
But there's plenty of birch vodka?
Yes. Well, you know, the Russians love their vodka, and they have a lot of birch. And so there's, so the birch syrup flavored vodka, that's what the Alaska distillery is doing. But people who have gone to Russia have come back with birch vodkas for me. I'm not a big vodka drinker, so I don't know. But you can do the birch beer as well. This is actually made with birch syrup. Most people have heard of birch beer, but they don't really know what it is. And so you can make a beer with birch syrup or birch sap. We do it at the Lake Placid Pub and Brewery. We give them the birch sap, and they make birch beer using sap instead of water. It goes over phenomenally well. We do the same thing with maple sap, by the way, a maple sap beer. So you can replace the water with sap there. And lots of different things. But you can't necessarily make it into sugar. Okay, so birch, because it's mostly glucose and fructose and not sucrose, it can't crystallize into sugar like we can make maple sugar, maple granular sugar.
And is the birch beer the traditional root beer flavory thing, or is it alcoholic beer?
So traditional birch beer is non-alcoholic. It's fermenting the sap, which has 0.5% sugar in it, and you lose most of that, and so it's not really alcoholic. The traditional birch beer.
Lower left looks
but
like
that's a real beer. Yeah, that's an actual alcoholic beer. No, this is Life and Limb. That's I don't know where that is produced, but that actually has birch syrup in it. And this slide, this shows the tapping potential for these three different species. The maple in red, birch in green, and walnut in blue. And a couple things to point out here. There's a lot more maple than birch or walnut. Okay? All the red lines are much higher than the green and the blue. New York here is the leader in the number of potential maple taps. We have 300 million potentially tappable maple trees in the state. We're using about 1% of them or less. Okay, so there's a huge opportunity to expand maple production in the U.S. And in New York in particular. Lots of other states, same thing, lots of maple trees.
Can you run by those numbers one more time?
Okay, so in New York State, we have 300 million potentially tappable maples. We're using less than 1% of them for syrup production. And in the U.S. as a whole, there's 2 billion potentially tappable trees, and we're using less than 0.5% of them. Yes?
I'm surprised Vermont is so low. So basically, they're just better at utilizing that resource that they have.
Yes. In fact, I think that's the next slide. No, it's not the next slide, but I'll get to it later. Vermont has the highest tapping rate, percentage of the trees that they're tapping. They're tapping 3% of their trees in Vermont. If you look at this, you can see West Virginia, lowly West Virginia. Nobody thinks about maple production in West Virginia, but sugar maple is the state tree. There's lots of maples down there. And there's more maples in West Virginia than there are in Vermont. So it has to do with culture more than where the trees are. Okay. Now, as far as the birch goes, most of the birch in the U.S., the huge stands are in Alaska, and they're not on this chart. And they don't even do all this data comes to the U.S. Forest Service Forest Inventory and Analysis Program. But Alaska is so huge that they don't actually do that for most of the interior of Alaska where there's lots of birch. So that's where the biggest resource is. But birch is generally a northern species. So it's the northern states, Maine, New York, anywhere, any state that shares a border with Canada generally has the most birch trees. Walnuts, you can see the biggest blue bar here by far of any state is Missouri. Okay? That's where that processing company is for the black walnuts. It's Hammond's Products in Missouri. And they have a lot more walnuts in Missouri than they do maple. And so there's lots of people now out there making walnut syrup or maple walnut syrup, mixing their maple and walnut together. So they still have the same right climate and everything, and we just need to do more education and research to get this word out to them, and they can help develop their industries as well. Okay, so now on to the maple sap. Did everybody get a chance to try some? Okay. Great, everybody liked it? All right, great. It's great right out of the tree, too. There's my nephew. We took that about 5 years ago, and we love drinking sap. That's how I got started on sugaring, was just drinking the sap. And it's delicious, nutritious, and, you know, it's always been available. It was just always a seasonal thing. And now there's companies getting into bottling it. And Paolo and Valentina are here with the Vertical Water because I've been helping them with their foray into bottling maple sap. So it'll be available not just seasonally now, but year-round. Okay? People used to just drink it out of the buckets, right? You can't really do that for sale, right? But traditionally, sugar makers, you're thirsty, you're out there, you're working hard. There's no better drink than maple sap, and maybe just right out of the bucket. Okay? All right? When I drink the sap, I actually use a new sterile jug because then I can just have the fresh sap right out of the tree and I don't have to worry about pasteurizing. I know it's clean and good. An old galvanized bucket I wouldn't really want to drink out. Okay. This is a picture from the New York Times article from a few years ago. The name of the article was "In South Korea, Drinks Around the Maple Tree." Did anybody ever see that? So it highlighted the Korean maple sap industry, how this has been going on there for centuries, the legends behind it, the fact that people go to these saunas and just drink maple sap over the weekend and eat salty chips in order to make themselves more thirsty. The whole idea is we drink as much sap as possible. It's only available for a limited time. Get as much as you can. Replace the water in your body with sap. Okay? And so now a guy in Michigan now trying to do the same thing. He started a March maple water fast. He's invited a bunch of people to his place, and they're just going to do nothing but drink sap for, I'm not sure how many days. Oh, 5 days, I think, yeah. And it's starting tomorrow, right? Yes?
What exactly are the minerals in there that are so...
The most common minerals are calcium, potassium, and magnesium. It also has a lot of manganese. And in Korea, the name of the tree there is Gerasae, which means the tree that's good for the bones, because of the minerals in the sap. And they have festivals in the springtime, you know, celebrating this, and it's used to be a bigger part of their culture, like a lot of things. Drinking sap used to be a big part of the culture here in America. We just forgot about it. Okay, the early settlers drank a lot of sap, and there's lots of passages in the old literature about how great maple sap is, and people just forgot about it. For the most part.
When they weren't drunk on apple cider.
Well, yeah, if they weren't drinking cider, they were drinking sap, right. Yep. So, we do have this tradition here as well. It's not just in Korea. And we're trying to revive that tradition. You know, bring back this forgotten pastime. This is the chart, the question about the minerals. This is from the... basically a reference book on maple syrup, and then also has the minerals and metals found in sap, and you see the top three, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and then also manganese as well. So those are your top three minerals that you're going to find. This is a paper that was published at the University of Rhode Island. They've been doing a lot of research on the health benefits of maple syrup and then also maple sap recently. Okay, so they recently published this paper, "Pasteurized and Sterilized Maple Sap as Functional Beverages, the Chemical Composition and Antioxidant Activities in the Sap." And they found that you can put it through the pasteurization or sterilization, and it has just as good health benefits as if it was raw right out of the tree. And it's published in the Journal of Functional Foods. Of course, we have some vertical water here for you to try as well. And this is going to be a completely New York-based a product. The sap is coming out of Western New York and being bottled in Western New York, local source, and going to be distributed, though, probably throughout the country. And Valentina and Paolo are here to answer any questions you have on their company. But this is a big opportunity. Right? Well, you're going to see a lot more. That's normally a milk truck, right, getting milk from the dairy farms. Those same milk trucks being repurposed to collect sap from big maple orchards, right? So you see, that's a tubing line, a maple sap tubing line. So this is a sap tanker pulling into a sugar house to collect sap, to bring it to the bottling plant.
When you look at calcium content in it, is it in any way comparable to milk?
No, I would say it's probably a lot. I haven't done that comparison, but they're in dilution, right? I mean, that's a bad word. Dilute solution, right? they're there, but they're not in very high concentrations. It's not like you're going to get 20% of your calcium by drinking and we got to figure out, you know, how it does compare to milk, but...
The dairy industry is going to be too worried, yeah.
No, I don't think so. You know, what it is... often is compared to in the media and a lot of people. I think the reason why a lot of companies are now getting into it is after the success of coconut water, this is an opportunity for a better coconut water. It's more local. It tastes better. We've done taste tests. People prefer maple water to coconut water. It's got less sugar, and it's local, and it still has a lot of those minerals in it. Not as many. You know, coconut water is some tag about more potassium than a banana. It doesn't have more potassium than a banana in maple water, but it has potassium in it. So all those minerals are there. So if you look at the potential here for maple water, in the U.S. and Canada, there's about 13.5 million gallons of maple syrup made every year. Okay, that's, say, average production. That would mean 540 million gallons of sap collected, because it's 40 gallons of sap on average to make a gallon of syrup. And you divide that by 3, because you're only going to use about a third of the sap collected in a typical year. You don't want the first sap coming out of the lines. You don't want the stuff later in the season. There's that sweet spot right in the middle to beginning of the season when the sap is absolutely crystal clear, it's fresh, it tastes the best, it looks like water, you can see right through it. That's the stuff that would normally make a light amber or a medium amber syrup. So it's only about a third of the sap that we'll be bottling as a beverage, okay, as a rule. And let's just say there's about 340 million people in North America, so on average, the average person currently could get about a half a gallon of maple water a year. Okay. But the opportunity to expand this industry is remarkable because we're using such a small percentage of our trees for sap and syrup production now. Right? This is that, Syl had asked about that Vermont, about the tapping percentage. You can see Vermont at about 3% of the trees being tapped is well above any other state. There's lots of states out there with lots of maple trees, and very little of that is being used for sap and syrup production. So we could easily expand the industry and, maple sap as a beverage rather than turning into syrup is one of the ways that we can add more value and get more trees tapped.